Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. This is your Bible teacher of the air, J.W. Bram Hall, giving you a hearty welcome to the continued study of the precious Word of God. For our commencement of a new study, we return today to the Epistle of Paul written to the Galatians. We would like to consider this great epistle the beloved Apostle Paul wrote. We might introduce a question regarding this epistle and its purpose. Why did Paul write the epistle to the Galatians? What was the trouble amongst the Christians in the area of Galatia, which caused him to write so urgently and with such strong words of rebuke, as the epistle indicates upon reading it? The introduction of the epistle in the first 9 verses will be sufficient to enlighten us why such a letter was hastily and urgently written. For Paul does not leave us in doubt concerning the serious nature of the trouble when he writes, particularly in verse 6, which we quote, "I marvel that ye are so quickly removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another or a different gospel." The pure gospel of the grace of Christ had been corrupted and perverted. It was being reversed in its meaning into something which was not and never meant to be at all. How did this ever come to pass? Very unfortunately, there was a group of men in Jerusalem who were determined to spread a Judaistic form of Christianity. When these teachers came from Jerusalem to the places and churches in Galatia that existed then, they made contacts usually with the leading Jews in order to get their influence into the churches of Galatia through the Jewish converts within them. These Judaistic teachers, they followed Paul everywhere, and they disturbed the apostle greatly, for they undermined his work wherever he went. He once called them the ministers of Satan and described them as angels of light in 2 Corinthians, for they often presented themselves as apostles. But Paul said they were false apostles. At the same time, they aroused his indignation very intensely, for they sometimes attacked him regarding the authority of his apostleship, as may be found in 2 Corinthians. But in the Epistle to the Galatians, they do not particularly attack Paul himself, as much as rather they attack his doctrine, the gospel that he preached, the gospel whereby men must be saved. And Paul realized the great danger was of such a vital issue that it must be corrected at once, for the very cross of Christ, with its work of redemption for all mankind, was at stake by the outward, plausible teaching of these legalistic Judaizers who were preaching salvation by the law and not by grace. Paul hits at the very heart of all this in chapter 2 of our epistle in verse 21, when he declares, "If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And how important it is for all of us to know that we are not saved by the law. We are not saved by the works of the law, but we are saved by grace alone. There are many sincere and many earnest people today who need this corrected ministry of Galatians in order that they may definitely know salvation is by grace alone and never by works. But let us read the first 5 verses of our chapter 1, when Paul begins the letter to the Galatians. These are the words of its salutation. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace, from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May we first of all present a brief outline of the epistle before we commence our exposition verse by verse. There are 6 chapters within the epistle, and they can be divided very simply into 3 parts, consisting of 2 chapters apiece. The first 2 chapters will really be a narrative in relation to Paul personally himself. The next 2 chapters, we will find a discussion pertaining to the gospel which Paul preached. And the last 2 chapters consist of words of exhortation to the Galatian believers. We could say briefly the first 2 chapters are personal, the next 2 are doctrinal, and the last 2, they are practical. Now we begin with the first 2 chapters, and particularly the first 5 verses which we have read. We might ask the question, why does Paul give the account of his personal movements? Now if we carefully read chapters 1 and 2, we will see that Paul does not defend his apostleship merely, but he is seeking to prove the genuineness, the authenticity of the gospel which he preached. But now consider with me the introduction of the letter, as we have read it, in verses 1 through 5. Paul, first of all, does state his apostleship with his divine authority, in verse 1. And he declares that he was an apostle, never appointed of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. What a joy to recognize the authority of his apostleship. No human authority. Thank God, it was entirely divine. The letter is addressed not only by himself to the churches of Galatia, but by the brethren in Christ who were with him. And then particularly addressed, as we note in verse 2, unto the churches of Galatia. Now the place of Galatia, that is, the country of it, by which it was called, was a small country, and it was a name given of a Roman province that was under the Roman Empire of that day long ago, in which Paul had, by God's grace, preached the gospel in the area, and many had been saved, and he had established a number of churches. To them, the letter is addressed. Then Paul follows, as is his usual custom, with a salutation, saying, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. There is one notable omission in the salutation of this letter, in contrast with the many epistles that Paul has written. Usually in every epistle, though sometimes it might be a letter of correction and rebuke, Paul always gave words of thanksgiving and praise to the saints to whom he addressed his words. But this is notably omitted in the Galatian epistle, in contrast to the others. There is not a note of thanksgiving. There is not a note of praise for these believers, as Paul had written in other letters to some. And I wonder why. I believe it was because, as we shall see in the study of the epistle, Paul was greatly disturbed regarding the doctrinal problem and the perverting of the gospel that had come into the churches of Galatia. He could not give thanks for them For in fact, we shall learn later in the letter, he was actually questioning whether they were genuinely saved. And he wondered about it, because they had turned away from the simple gospel which he had preached with divine truth. But what follows in this salutation is a very precious statement. For as Paul speaks and writes concerning the salutation of grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, he refers to what the Lord Jesus has done in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Now here are three notable things to remember and take home to our hearts. What has the Lord done? What has he done for all of his redeemed children? First, it is a statement that we should value concerning the death of Christ. He gave himself for our sins. My beloved friend, I wonder if you have learned that Christ died for your sins. And he gave himself for our sins. And this strikes a deadly blow to the lawgivers and the law preachers of Paul's day and of any day. For the salvation we have is based entirely upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And then there's a second statement of fact. Our Lord's death was not only to save us from our sins, but to deliver us from this present evil world. What a deliverance! I wonder if you and I appreciate, fellow believer, our deliverance from this present evil world. Thank God it has been done through the Lord Jesus' death. And my sinner friend, the Lord Jesus can do that for you today. And then third, all of it is according to the will of God, even our Father. Well, might the apostle close the salutation with an inscription of praise. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the introduction of this epistle. But we pray particularly that every listener may know Christ gave himself for their sins, and through the death of Christ alone can salvation be obtained by grace through faith in him. Father, we pray humbly but earnestly, lead us on in this study of thy word, but sanctify the truth we have given for thy glory now. In Jesus' name, amen.